All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Thursday, November 29th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is a site. DFSR.com for short. Head on over DFSR.com/deals. We'll get you a free 7-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for NFL, NBA, betting articles for premium subscribers, premium chat. It's all covered under one subscription package. So go check that out. DFSR.com/deals will get you started. You're not going to find a better deal than that, even on the website, because we don't post this one on the website. It's for podcast listeners only. Go check it out. Week 13 coming down the pike here. Cash game podcast. We're going to break down some of the positions, and then we'll be back. We're going to break down all the positions, and then we'll be back tomorrow discussing a game-by-game breakdown of each game on the main slate, kind of talking about maybe going into a little bit more depth on some of these guys and some other considerations, because I think there's some closer calls, and I feel like there is going to be some chalk as well this week. But we'll kind of get into that as we roll through. We'll start with quarterback. We led with Mahomes. No one has a more freezing cold take on Mahomes than we do from the beginning of the season when we were
correct.
I'm being honest. I like to be honest about this because some people like to change their tune or whatever. We were not very high on Mahomes, especially after the first week of the year. Just thought the conversion rate was going to be a problem. Thought he ran incredibly hot in touchdowns. That just couldn't look right. I had like a longer form piece that I was going to post about it. And oh man, I'm so glad I didn't, because that will just live on the internet forever. So I'm totally willing to take the L here. Now, he's very expensive, but you let off with him as your quarterback. Obviously, we've changed our tune. We understand he's just amazing. $9,500, though, is he – like, do you see people paying $9,500 on FanDuel for Patrick Mahomes? Like, it seems insane to pay that price, and he just is, like, the most consistent fantasy quarterback we've seen in a while. He's having a historic season. So, I mean, I guess if you're leading off with him, you think the price is warranted.
Yeah, I don't think he – so, first of all, I suspect he probably will not wind up coming in lineups simply because the other positions have greater issues around finding value at lower price points. And so, since you can get guys like, you know, Jameis or even Lamar Jackson, who we'll get to in a second, at lower price points, like, Mahomes probably won't wind up being the guy. But I just thought it was really notable that at a $9,500 price point, he's still the third highest points per dollar play in our system. And usually when you can get a player that expensive – with that high of a projection, you just lock him in and get off to the races. But, you know, it just so happens that our system right now thinks that Winston and Jackson are slightly better values. And I just thought it was pretty incredible, actually, that there could be a $9,500 quarterback. So I wanted to highlight it because, you know, at least for cash games, one thing I think that would be sort of beyond dispute is that Mahomes would be the highest floor play on a points per dollar basis in that top position. I mean, we know that Jameis, sometimes he just gets taken out of the game just cause. And we know that Lamar Jackson, obviously he's very dependent upon the run. And so if you wanted to just lock in additional safety and get, you know, if you had cheap plays that you liked elsewhere, I do think you could consider Mahomes. I think most of it comes down to the matchup here. Oakland is allowing the very most yards per attempt to opposing quarterbacks. They're especially bad in terms of stopping the deep ball, and that's where the Chiefs thrive. So yeah, right now you can get the guy who's 40 fantasy points, two full games ahead of second place in terms of fantasy production on the season, and you're not paying, you know, that level. I mean, that's like, is that 15-18% more than the next highest guy, something like that? And you don't have to pay for it, so I think you have to consider him at the very least.
He's gone 3x on this price on FanDuel, 7 out of the 11 weeks, and the other ones he's gone easily 2x. So it's not like he's unlikely to kill you at this price, these prices. Even, which seems nuts because it's just so expensive, and they're huge favorites. They've been big favorites in some of these other games as well, and it has
the that is a fly in the ointment, though. I think you are concerned if you play him for cash that they just get up and it gets out of control, and he only has, you know, 28 passing attempts like he did against Arizona. That's certainly in play.
Yep, the 15-point road favorites against a Raiders team who's completely garbage, and they're also coming off the bye, so it's hard to imagine Raiders kind of. It's hard to imagine any scenario where the Raiders keep pace here, and then you're just wondering, you know, if there's enough production from Mahomes in a game that maybe is over by the third quarter. As Stranger Things and all, there's some parity in football. It doesn't seem like that parity exists for the Raiders, but in general, teams can just, you know, a fumble here, an interception there. Games can stay a little closer. It's really hard to imagine it going here. Now, you nodded to Jameis and Lamar Jackson here. They are clearly the next price tier down, but they're the two highest points per dollar guys in our system, both at $7,500 on FanDuel. little bit of a pricing difference. Actually, you know, I take that back. On DraftKings, Mahomes is coming into the lineup. The pricing difference on Mahomes on DraftKings is a little bit different. He's 76. Well,
the spread is just tighter on DraftKings, so you'll see that happen sometimes.
So he's actually in the lineup there. And then we have Winston and Lamar Jackson, who are both the same price on FanDuel, and they're $100 apart, $6,000 and $5,900 on DraftKings. So do you have a feeling one way or the other about these guys? Are they kind of like coin flip territory? Because it does seem like these two guys could see a decent amount of ownership this week.
Yeah, so this is actually pretty close to me. I hedged. I went back and forth when I was writing the article. I would suspect that Jameis probably has the higher floor just because Jackson seems not totally equipped to actually pass the ball, and he certainly needed all 11 of those carries and the rushing touchdown in order to get there last week. But the real question, I guess, that's going to have to be in your mind going into this week is, did the Ravens learn from their terrible first half last week, or didn't they? Because, you know, we talked about this on the recap podcast, but Jackson goes into halftime with three carries. The team looks totally lost. And then he comes out in the second half, gets eight carries, gets a touchdown, gets up to 71 rushing yards. If they can stick to him as a run-first quarterback that basically keeps you honest with the pass, I think he's probably a better play than Jameis. But my suspicion is that it still is the Ravens. You know, there's even murmurings of Flacco and, you know, whatever else. I think that, for that reason, Jameis probably the slightly higher floor play in a perfectly reasonable matchup with Carolina here.
They have around the same implied total. Right now, Baltimore's coming in with 23.75 implied points. And now, well, I take that back. Two points higher on the Tampa Bay side, 25
points. Yeah, Tampa
points.
Was like, significantly higher earlier.
They're both slight underdogs. Tampa is the home underdog in a game that should feature, it features a pretty high total, 55. It's come down just a point. I think I probably would defer Jameis here as well, which seems crazy because it's so funny too. Like if you said 3 weeks ago when Fitzpatrick's going there, if you just said 3 weeks later, there's going to be no injury and we're going to be talking about calling Jameis like the safest quarterback in cash with no injury concerns. I was like, I think it's crazy. Just really a testament to how crazy Tampa Bay has just been this year with this quarterback situation. And like you said, they're all like, we've talked about this before too, but sort of in the same way, like Anthony Davis is a risk every time you roster him because he could just head to the locker room. Jameis, there's always a risk. You could throw two interceptions early in the game. Fitzpatrick just comes in. They don't care. Like they're not committed to either one of these guys. It's been proven enough times this season that if you just have a bad first half, you are not going to play the second half if you're Tampa Bay. There's been some kind of philosophical change in their clubhouse. I don't know what would have warranted it based on just things we've seen already. So it is always a risk. Carolina is a good team. And you just have to hope that this is the game that even if he were to play a little bit poorly, he'd be able to stick in there for the game. I think I'm with you. I would probably go Jameis. And I wouldn't be shocked if Lamar got some ownership as well. Now, after these three guys, I think there's a pretty stark drop-off in terms of what I feel safe about in terms of just cash game quarterbacks. And by the way, one last thing. It helps that all three of these guys run. My one question, though, is Cam Newton. Do you think Cam kind of exists in between these two groups, yeah, right? So Mahomes is the top end. Jameis and Lamar are like in that middle tier. And then right in between them is Cam at 8,700 against the defense that either us or other people really throughout the entire season have targeted quarterbacks against in cash. Like even to the point where people were played Mullins last week against Tampa Bay just because it's Tampa Bay. Do you think Cam ends up being like the chalk quarterback? He's right in between these guys, and that he has arguably the best matchup of the three of them.
Yeah, so he's still expensive. You know, you're paying $8,700 for Newton here. Generally speaking, that hasn't been a terrible price to get him at over the course of the season. He's had a good track record against Tampa Bay. I listed him as another guy I was considering, but I just feel like he falls in just the wrong price category because I think if like Patrick Mahomes didn't exist, it'd be really hard to not play Cam Newton. But the fact that Mahomes has a better matchup, is better, and isn't that much more expensive, leads me to believe that I would probably lean there if I was deciding among these top guys. And I don't know, maybe that's going to be an unpopular position or an unpopular direction to lean here. I just feel like Newton, man, he's still, for a price that high, he's still got the pretty bad game in him when the passing doesn't connect. And, you know, especially given the fact that we've seen multiple two-carry games out of him recently, that has me a little spooked too. But I still think, ultimately, like, if the system said play Newton at quarterback, I wouldn't hesitate. I would just play him and be pretty happy with it. I still think he's an excellent play. I just think that we have just a ton of really good running back plays this week.
Yep, and we'll get into that right now. I do think that you could see a situation. I wouldn't be shocked if there was a lot of cash game stacks that just went Newton, McCaffrey, and maybe DJ Moore. Like they're all kind of priced correctly, I think, and they just get such a great matchup with a great total. So let's get into these running backs. McCaffrey's coming off a huge week. he right now, when you run optimal lineups for us on FanDuel, he's in basically 80% of the lineup, something like that, maybe a little higher, not showing up as much on DraftKings. Do you think he, after the usage he saw last week on both the ground and the passing game, was able to get in the touchdown? They were giving him the ball on the goal line, which is worth noting here. Absolutely. The goal line carries were Christian McCaffrey, and that's always been the concern between him and Newton, and you know when they had CJ Anderson and whatnot. Do you think he ends up becoming kind of a chalk play based on the matchup and based on you know recency? I'm going to call it bias, but it's probably not the right word. Recency bias based on what he did last week.
Yeah, he should be too. He shredded Tampa Bay when they faced off in early November. And, you know, he was good on the ground, good through the air. He's done nothing to lose this opportunity. And the targets through the passing game are even more secure now with some of their injury stuff. So I think if you take all that together, you know, he's a good running back and a good wide receiver in one player, and he's not priced that way. So I think this week with the best possible matchup, it's hard to believe that he wouldn't be the highest owned running back.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay 27th in DVOA against the rush this season are particularly bad against running backs who catch the ball out of the backfield, which McCaffrey, that is his primary skill set. So I do think even with the price jump, you know, up to 8,800 on both sites, it's probably a little, it might be a little too expensive on DraftKings. 8,800 is very expensive. And on a site that's where the salary cap actually matters a little bit more in terms of what you're able to fit, that one might be a little bit of a closer call. I think I'm fine with it on FanDuel. I did nod here to Gurley and Hunt at top end guys, mostly because they're coming as huge favorites on teams that are, you know, expected to win by a lot. That's usually where we want to grab running backs. 9,800 for Gurley, 93 DraftKings. And then Hunt actually gets a little bit cheaper. 8,900 on FanDuel, 7,800. So he's 1,000 cheaper than McCaffrey on DraftKings this week. They're huge favorites against Oakland. Could you see him end up becoming like a chalk play based on the prices dipped down, sort of on some volume concerns over the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I certainly do. You know, it's the ultimate question is going to be how many of these really expensive plays can you make, right? Like, I just don't know that you can. Like, so as I was looking at the big expensive running backs, I know you were the one that wrote up running back for cash games this week, but so I'll just go through. I think Gurley is probably a little bit too expensive, especially I'm just talking on FanDuel right here, just because it's hard to go back and forth between yep. sites as you're talking, but he's probably too expensive on DraftKings as well. Gurley, I think, is too expensive. I think McCaffrey is very, very fair. I don't think you're going to play Saquon Barkley against Chicago. Fournette's suspended, and that's it. And then you have Nick Chubb going up against Houston, and then you have basically just significantly worse options after that, guys just that are clearly not in the top tier. And then I think you're just deciding between McCaffrey and Hunt. I mean, if you can find a way, like there still might be enough mid-range value at wide receiver to play both. But I think that McCaffrey is the safer option. And if I had to choose between them, I would definitely take him over Kareem Hunt. I just think going with the combination of the blowout risk, the fact that Kansas City can just decide to do whatever regardless of the game script, the fact that they just have so many tools, so many options where Carolina's options are so limited. I mean, and if you just look at the game logs, like getting 18 touches for Hunt doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come anywhere near paying value. You've really only been happy on this production or on this price point in one of the last 4 weeks, even though he had a decent stretch before that. So yeah, I think I would just take McCaffrey and I wouldn't think too much about it, but I still think Hunt, you know, the upside is right there and it wouldn't surprise anybody if he had the best overall week at running back.
Yeah. I mean, Kareem Hunt is kind of, when I think of him as a high volume running back, and on the season, he's 11th overall in touches per game. And that's just not, he's priced like a guy that's like fifth overall or something like that, sixth overall, but you know, he's below guys like Joe Mixon and even David Johnson touches the ball. Now, again, Hunt's touches are of a higher quality than these other guys because he's just on a much better offense. So that counts for something. And that is, and you know, the touchdown equity on him is higher than a guy like David Johnson just because the Cardinals simply can't score touchdowns. So, you know, you can't just look at touches on a guy and just say, like, you know, translate one-to-one fantasy performance, even though it's so highly correlated. And I still was surprised that he was this low. And it's because, you know, some game script stuff, they just have other weapons, they can find other things that work for them. I do think you're going to see him be something of a popular play on DraftKings just because he is a tier below the other guys that we've just mentioned. Now, the next tier down does have Aaron Jones. And he is a favorite here against Arizona. He's been excellent on a yards per touch basis once they moved him into the starting lineup. Can you see pivoting off those other expensive guys into a guy like Jones who's had excellent usage? It just maybe hasn't done it for long enough to get the price all the way up maybe where it should be.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, Vegas suggests that this game could be one that sees Jones touching the ball an awful lot. Obviously, they're significant favorites against the Cardinals, but not so out of control like the same way the Chiefs would be. I think the Packers, you know, they do have the potential to do this short pass is the new run, you know, with guys, great possession guys like Davante Adams. And obviously, Jamal Williams is still there. So, you know, there's always a chance, I guess, that Jones doesn't get there. But I think in that mid-range price point, again, given that you just can't pay up at every single position for, you know, all the most expensive guys, you can definitely consider Jones. And I think if he winds up in your cash game lineups, you're probably feeling pretty good about it.
The Jamal Williams thing doesn't bother me, really. I mean, Jones outsnapped him.
No, I know. I'm just more talking about just listing any of the things that could potentially go wrong.
But sure, yeah, I agree with you. Last week, Jones, 22 touches, 17 rushing attempts for 72 yards, 5 targets for 21 yards. He did score a touchdown. They have clearly made him the best back. I do like the idea of paying down for him a little bit on FanDuel, getting out of that top tier for just that, because that $1,000 worth of savings for a guy who could touch the ball 20 plus times in a plus matchup is a big favorite. I do think
I don't think you can credibly say that like Kareem Hunt is definitely a better play than him. So I think
that's an interesting one. Yeah, and that's a good comparison, because I think on its face you would say, oh yeah, it's Kareem Hunt, it's Kansas City, but a lot of the things are very similar between these two guys, including touches per game at this point. So I think that's a good comparison in saying, you know, what I like to say.
I'm blushing.
Yeah, good. You can put that in your resume and just send it out to people. Put it in your LinkedIn profile and just.
So you've heard of Doug Norrie, right?
All right, let's just nod to a couple of these cheaper guys. Gus Edwards. He ended up being a popular play last week and I guess kind of got there in the yards, has still not scored a touchdown in this new fangled offense that they're running with Lamar Jackson. The price hasn't moved that much. He's 6,400 on FanDuel. Give me your 2 second thoughts here on Gus Edwards. And I wrote up Deion Lewis, but I'm going to kind of skip past that one because I'm probably going to end up changing my mind about that. But what are your thoughts here on Edwards?
I like Gus Edwards. Just kidding. I'll get more at that. You said 2 second thoughts. I didn't
caught me off guard.
Go over my allotted time. But no, I think Edwards is solid. I think, you know, again, it's definitely on the harder side to trust anything about the Ravens offense, given what we saw from them early in the week last week. They went back to Edwards. He was excellent on a per touch basis. Once again, he had 23 carries, 118 yards, never got in the end zone, but that could just be an issue for the Ravens given that they're probably bad. So that's I guess my general concern with Edwards. Also worth noting, he did miss practice on Wednesday too with an ankle thing. So I don't know if that'll actually wind up hurting his status heading into this week or what, but yeah, it's at least something that's on my radar right now.
All right, let's touch on some of the wide receivers. We kind of seem to focus a little bit more on the middle tier of wide receivers, or at least in terms of like how we tiered them. DJ Moore, do you see DJ Moore? I mean, Funchess, I believe, is still questionable right now. Is the DJ Moore recommendation based on no Funchess, or would you feel comfortable with them going back to him in the passing game, even if Funchess was around? I need to check the injury status on him. I will, as you comment on it, though.
I think I would be okay with him regardless. So I didn't have this queued up, but let me just pull it up what his targets were in the last week they played together. Yeah, so the last week they played together, Moore had 8 targets, 7 catches for 157 and a touch, which is, you know, what made people so bullish on him going into last week. He's been the thing I really like about Moore is that he's been a hugely high efficiency target for Newton, and that's just something he's really lacked in his time in Carolina. Like, you know, Newton's always struggled with increasing the completion percentage, and honestly, if you took out all of his targets to DJ Moore this season, he'd probably be right back where he has been historically. So given that, catching 8 out of 9 last week, 7 out of 8 the week before that, 4 out of 5 the week before that, 6 out of 5 2 weeks before that, like Moore is just a really, really high efficiency short yardage target. And obviously he's competing for some of those targets with Christian McCaffrey. But I think he just does something different than Funchess, and I think he's better at it. And I think when you can take him against, you know, certainly unquestionably a bottom three passing defense in Tampa Bay, it would be hard to argue that at 6,400, he's not just simply underpriced. And given that we've listed only expensive players at all the other positions so far, I think that makes a pretty strong case for playing him as well.
Yeah, I agree. And we try to keep our cash game recommendations honest. Like, you could make a cash game lineup out of the pieces that we throw in here in this article. Not just, it'd be easy to just write up Julio Jones and all these expensive other wide receivers at this point. But Kenny Galladay is the next guy on the list. He's got a bad matchup here with the Rams. Are we just thinking, Marvin Jones is now out for the season. But so Galladay is just, there's no question about whether or not he's the wide receiver one here. And do you think the matchup against the Rams, are you confident enough here that they're just going to have to pass the whole game? Is that the Galladay thing? Or do you think he's just maybe underpriced based on his target share?
I think it's a combination of the two. So I like a lot of things about this, actually. The Rams are 10-point favorites, which means the Lions, I mean, the Lions already rely a lot on the pass, but they're undoubtedly going to have to rely a lot on the pass here as well. The Rams, you know, they have a strong defensive reputation, but they've given up some big passing games this season and are in the bottom third of the league in terms of yards per attempt allowed. And Detroit just has no one else. So, right. You know, it's kind of, you know, Jones is gone, Tate's gone, Galladay's the last guy left. I think the floor on him is just excellent. And again, he's going to really help you out in that mid-range price-wise. I think, you know, there's definitely some, you know, even cheaper options that we can ultimately consider. But I think if you are staring down the barrel of, I don't know, well, who's even a good example here? Like, if you're staring down the barrel of having to pay all the way down at running back instead of paying, say, like McCaffrey and Jones, I think you'd be better served to just grab Galladay in the mid-tier instead of paying up for the next guy on this list, Tyreek Hill, or certainly none of the other more expensive wide receivers. So it's kind of a hedge against both, right? It's like he has that wide receiver one upside, I believe. He hasn't really tapped into it yet, but he doesn't introduce the same risk into your lineup as paying up for someone like, you know, Davante Adams would or Tyreek Hill, because then you'll just get a more expensive, much more reliable option, like, say, Aaron Jones instead of Gus Edwards.
Yeah, I think that all makes sense. It's funny. I was looking at FanDuel, our lineups on FanDuel and DraftKings this week, and usually you see a lot of overlap between just between the two, because good plays are good plays, and, you know, the couple $100 difference from one side to the other doesn't usually make enough difference to, like, switch around lineups too drastically. This week, though, is interesting because these lineups look very, very different. I guess we can maybe get into this more in the game-by-game breakdown, but I'm more mentioning in the cash game podcast here, because if you look at our FanDuel lineup, this is very early, so this is usually going to change by Sunday. But it's right. Winston, McCaffrey, Jones, Brandon Cooks, DJ Moore, a cheap wide receiver, and then Ebron and Gus Edwards. And then DraftKings, there's almost no overlap here. Mahomes, Lamar Miller, Aaron Jones, Julio Jones, Brandon Cooks, Galladay, Kittle, and Ebron. Like, there's almost no overlap between those two lineups. So that speaks to, one, there's enough price differences on both sites this week that you're probably going to make different decisions based on the site you play. One, two, I like when this happens sometimes because it hedges nicely on price based on, you know, you can get good plays on both sites and then you can just take advantage of the pricing tiers. But I'm more mentioning because you just don't see this kind of non-overlap, at least from our system, very often. Let's finish these wide receivers off. Tyreek Hill, you have here. I thought it was going to be tough for me to decide between the Tyreek Hill, Cooks, Woods group of good wide receivers on great passing teams in the big favorites. Is the Hill thing? How much is Tyreek's upside based on maybe Sammy Watkins not playing again? Sammy Watkins has sat out again. Is the target? Do you think, like, if Watkins were to come back, would you want to?
Yeah, a significant amount. And I think that's a really good thing to bring up that I didn't actually pin down in the article. Is the fact that the increase in target share, it's been profound the last couple of weeks with Watkins being out. I mean, this guy in the last 2 weeks, 24 targets, 17 catches, 332 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's like 4 weeks of production from a normal wide receiver, and he's done it in 2. And I think at least on FanDuel, he's still underpriced. So, you know, it's a combination of not being priced on the same level as the top wide receivers, but also outproducing them at the same time and walking into what amounts to the best possible matchup for an opposing wide receiver one. So, you know, there's certainly a lot to like about Tyreek Hill here. If Watkins comes back, they do somewhat similar things. And so I think you could take 2 targets even from Hill, and that would make a really significant difference. We talk about this in basketball, but in football, it's the same way. A guy like Hill, each target to him is of such high value that even taking away 1 or 2 can really fundamentally move that projection around. And so I think what happened when I wrote the cash game article, Hill was in the top overall lineups. I think it was a bump to Eric Ebron, maybe. It was a bump to somebody that wound up shifting things around, and that put Cooks in there. And listen, Cooks is also a great play. I mean, back-to-back weeks, he has hit 12 targets. I still think there's potentially more risk because I think the Rams have more weapons offensively. Yep. And even if they've favored Cooks in the last couple weeks, I mean, on one hand, he is their most talented wide receiver, but they still do have guys like Kupp and Woods and...
Well, not Kupp. Kupp's out for the season. You mean Reynolds and Gurley. Yeah.
But they still do have Woods knocking on the door. Woods was pretty inefficient in their last game. So, yeah, there's going to be... Yeah, I don't know. Both those guys bring their own risk to the table. Both are wide receivers in games where their teams are heavily favored. So I don't know. I think you wind up picking between them. I think right now Cooks being a little cheaper and the increased opportunity from Kupp being out is probably enough to tip the scales in his favor. But I could see playing either.
Let's finish it off with tight end. I do think Eric Ebron's just going to be the massive chalk this week with Jack Doyle.
How could he not be, right?
I don't think we even need to spend that much time on it. Like, Doyle was already among the target leaders of in tight end this season, and that was with Doyle around for like six games or five games or something like that. And right. So right now, Ebron is the third overall fantasy. He was among the highest of fantasy production. The targets were not there, but the targets are there per game when Doyle is not around. So if you exactly. if you back out the Doyle games, then Ebron actually becomes one of the highest tight end targets per game guys. He's definitely running hot on touchdowns. The 11 touchdowns are essentially lapping the field. I would not count.
He is their top red zone target. I don't know. Like, he's just at, like, in the last like 10. So he has 10 targets in his last two games that he's played, four touchdowns. But what that also tells you is that when they get down and close, like, that's when they send him onto the field to try to get him the ball, right?
Right. Yeah, no. So what I was going to say was the touchdowns are running hot, but not so hot that you can't continue to project touchdown equity for him, right? Because that is just how they use him. And Luck has been insanely efficient this year. The offense has been good. They might have some issues in the running game if Marlon Mack is out this week. So I think it all stands to say Ebron is going to be chalk across the board. I don't think that's really in question. And I think you can still look at George Kittle. The targets are for sure there. The quarterback play is so bad that you can't really, you know, you can give him 10 targets, I think, pretty safely. And you can't count on that the targets are going to be all that efficient. So I think that's my only problem with Kittle. And he's just coming cheap for a guy that could see double-digit targets. I'm mostly thinking on DraftKings at this point. 5,900 for essentially like higher tier wide receiver. That's like kind of where his target share lives. I think you can consider him, and tight ends always just come a little bit cheaper. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Game by game breakdown podcast. We'll go through each of the games, talk about some of the injury news and notes, talk about some of the other guys we didn't talk about here, like Lamar Miller, Frank Gore. There are some other running back considerations we can think about, especially on DraftKings. We'll do it all tomorrow on the game by game breakdown. Buddy, talk to you tomorrow when we talk more football.
Later.